Thank you, Laurel. More than 2 years after the beginning of the peace implementation process in Afghanistan, security remains the primary concern of most Afghans. The country faces the combined challenges of a resurgent terrorism, warlords, sectarian violence, and rapid narcotics production and trafficking. Of these problems, narcotics production poses the greatest threat to Afghanistan's future and the primary obstacle to establishing the rule of law in that country. In a situation where there are almost no disincentives and few equally lucrative alternatives, the country's rural population is turned increasingly to opium production. At present, opium enables farmers to earn 10 times the amount of money that they would earn by growing alternate crops. Opium brokers and drug traffickers have established a kind of agricultural extension service in which farmers receive advance payment, seeds, fertilizer, technical assistance on how to grow the crop. Somebody comes out and checks up on how things are doing, and when the crop is harvested, someone is there with money to pay for it. Opium production is particularly attractive to returning refugees, people who are coming back from Afghanistan or from Pakistan or Iran with nothing, find that they receive startup assistance from the traffickers, or that they can readily find work in areas owned by landowners that are engaged in poppy production. The situation is exacerbated by the fact that nearly all local and regional power holders and many national figures are engaged in some way in narcotics production and trafficking. Growers, brokers, and traffickers enjoy the protection of police chiefs, militia commanders, provincial governors, and even cabinet ministers. These officials use the proceeds from drugs and to fund personal armies and to maintain their independence from the central government. And the profits from narcotics trafficking often find their way through various channels into the pockets of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. According to the annual report of the United Nations Office for Drugs and Crime, Afghanistan has regained its spot as the world's largest producer of opium. In the past year, opium production has spread from the traditional growing areas in the south to now 28 of 32 provinces. In 2003, opium production earned Afghans $2.3 billion, an amount equal to half the country's legitimate gross domestic product and five times the government's annual budget. Afghanistan produces 70% of the heroin that's consumed in Europe, and the United Nations estimates that the international trade in Afghan opiates generates a total turnover worldwide of $30 billion. Unfortunately, from the standpoint of civilian law enforcement, Afghanistan is completely unprepared to deal with the narcotics problem. Afghanistan does not have a national civilian police force. There may be as many as 50,000 men in the country who work as police, but these people are generally untrained, ill-equipped, poorly paid, or often not paid. And they are generally loyal to regional commanders, provincial warlords, local peace chiefs, etc. With the assistance of the United Nations and the British government, the government of President Karzai has now put in place the legal and institutional framework to begin a counter-narcotics program. In 2002, the Counter-Narcotics Directorate was created as part of the National Security Council. In 2003, a national drug control strategy was set in place, and a modern anti-narcotics law was adopted. There was also an initial effort at eradication. In response to orders from the central government, provincial warlords reported back that they had eradicated 21,000 hectares of poppy. But it's sort of in way of insight into the situation in Afghanistan, there was no means for the central government to go out and verify this figure. So if you read the United Nations report, there's a caveat after this that no one could really tell whether anything had practically occurred. The problem is that the Afghan central government currently lacks the capacity to carry out enforcement activities outside the capital. Even the United States Drug Enforcement Agency is unable to operate outside of Kabul because of the security situation. International efforts to create a national police force, including a drug enforcement capacity, are only beginning. Over the next 2 years, the United States will spend some $110 million to provide training to 50,000 currently serving police. The training will take place in Kabul and at seven regional training centers, but these training centers have yet to be constructed. At the same time, Germany has spent some $70 million on new equipment and on refurbishing the police academy in Kabul. Under the German program, there are 1,500 new police officers enrolled in the academy, but they're engaged in a 5-year work-study program. So while this program will have very limited short-term impact, however, at least the institutional infrastructure is in place for a longer-term program. The UK, which is the lead nation for narcotics, will spend about $12 million in the next 3 years to create an anti-narcotics task force, which for the first time will give the central government the ability to operate and to eradicate crops outside of Kabul. The UK has also taken the lead in promoting crop substitution and alternative livelihood programs. Now, while the problems of narcotics production, corruption, and organized crime are extremely serious, most of the foreign officials and Afghan government officials that we spoke with thought that the situation was reversible. They noted that Afghan farmers generally felt uncomfortable about growing a crop that was both illegal and immoral in the view of Islam. They believed that even a minimal enforcement effort could have a salutary effect. But they also noted that this hopeful scenario was involved a race against time. Can the police training programs and the counter-narcotics efforts come online quickly enough to provide a deterrent and alternatives to expanding narcotics production? If not, it's very likely that Afghanistan will continue its slide toward becoming a narco state and a center and a base again for narco-terrorism. In our report, we encourage the U.S. government and the international community to enhance the current efforts that it's making to ensure that the progress which was achieved in 2003 be continued. And we've also offered some recommendations. The first is that coalition military forces, United States military forces and our allies, begin performing limited narcotics-related law enforcement functions until the Afghan law enforcement capacity can come online. This would involve rather simple but really important things such as intelligence sharing, taking action against drug warehouses and heroin laboratories, and seizing drugs discovered in the performance of routine duties. Today, although this is somewhat hard to believe, if American forces search a truck and find that it's full of narcotics, they simply close the flaps and send the driver on his way. This reinforces the belief on the part of some Afghans that the United States really endorses the idea of warlords engaging in the drug trade. Second, the U.S. should follow the example which it is set in the narcotics program and move beyond the lead nation concept in other areas of the rule of law. After 2 years, it's clear that the effort at burden sharing is not really working very well, and in most cases, the United States now needs to stop waiting for others to step forward and to take on the jobs itself. In many cases in the rule of law area, we are both the most experienced country in the world and we have the largest amount of interest at stake. So we believe that it's time to step out and take the leadership role that's fallen to us in many areas. And finally, the focus of Afghan's rule of law strategy should parallel that set by the police program, and it should focus on major provincial centers. We feel that it is in the urban areas where police and the formal justice system is both most utilized and most needed. While the situation in the rural areas may be important in the long term, that can wait while we concentrate on the cities. And now, I'll ask you to all take a collective breath. We've been at this for about 1 hour now, and we will entertain your questions.